Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring this this concept from the book of Jeremiah. This word shub,
right?
And shub, I think it means.
Yeah, shub means to turn or to repent.
To turn or to repent.
Yes.
So we're going to be looking at some excerpts from a lecture by Dr. Gary Yates.
Mm-hmm.
And he really dives deep into this word and its significance within the book of Jeremiah.
Yes, and it's fascinating because in his lecture, he points out how the word shub appears 17 times in just these few chapters of Jeremiah, like chapters 3 and 4.
Wow.
So it's like a real key word.
Yeah, it's like God is trying to say something.
Yeah, he's like giving us this flashing neon sign.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's back up a little bit. And maybe for some of our listeners who are not super familiar with Jeremiah.
Okay.
What is the context here?
Yeah.
What's going on with Judah that has God, shall we say, a little bit frustrated?
Yeah. Frustrated is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Imagine, if you will, that Judah is the chosen people of God.
Okay.
But they've totally forgotten their commitment to him.
Okay.
And so Dr. Yates, in his lecture, uses this powerful analogy of adultery.
Okay.
To describe just how serious Judah's actions are.
Adultery, that seems a little strong.
Well, it is strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't just a random analogy because in their culture, adultery was a capital offense.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is really serious stuff.
Yeah.
And we even see that reflected in Deuteronomy chapter 24, which, you know, outlines the divorce law.
Okay, so you're saying God is treating this like a breach of contract?
Yes.
Like a legal matter?
Yeah, a legal matter.
Wow.
But here's what's really mind-blowing.
Okay.
God, as the one who created the law,
right,
is in this situation where, metaphorically speaking, he's bound by his own law.
So is he saying, like, I'm required to divorce Judah?
Yeah, almost as if he's painted himself into a corner.
Right.
But the amazing thing is, is that he offers them a way back.
He does.
It's like he's saying, look, I have every right to walk away from this, but I'm choosing not to.
Wow.
I'm offering you a second chance.
Why would he do that?
Well, I think it speaks volumes about his character.
Okay.
You know, his mercy and his willingness to reconcile.
Okay.
Even when it seems legally impossible.
Wow.
So, you know, this is not about some cold, rigid justice.
Right.
This is about love.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's about a father who desperately wants his children back.
So tender.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
It's good stuff.
So this word shub.
Okay.
It's more than just saying, oops, my bad.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, shub has two sides to it.
Okay.
It means turning away from the wrong path.
Okay.
But it also means turning back to God.
Okay.
So it's a complete reorientation of your life.
So there's action involved.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just a feeling.
Not just a feeling. Yeah, think of it like this internal compass that we all have.
Okay.
And that compass points us toward God.
Yeah.
But sometimes we ignore it and we wander off course.
Yeah, we all do that.
And so shub is about recalibrating that compass.
Yeah.
And getting back on track.
I love that analogy. Yeah. I think we've all had those moments where we feel that tug between what we know is right,
right,
and what we want to do.
Yeah, you get that little voice inside saying, like, turn back. This isn't the way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing is, God doesn't just, like, leave us to figure it out on our own.
That's right.
He kind of lays out the stakes pretty clearly.
He does.
It's like, here are the benefits if you choose shub, and here's what's going to happen if you don't.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's playing the carrots and sticks game.
He is.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the carrots first.
Okay.
What are some of the positive things that God is promising Judah if they choose shub?
Well, God is offering Judah a picture of restoration and abundance.
Okay.
And, you know, we have to remember that Judah's facing exile, the loss of their land, their identity.
Right.
So God offers them things that would speak directly to their deepest fears and longings.
So it's not just generic be good, go to heaven stuff.
No, not at all.
It's very specific to what they need.
Exactly. So, for example, he promises them good leaders.
Okay.
Shepherds who will guide them wisely.
Oh, that's good.
He promises them knowledge and understanding,
okay,
which would have been especially precious.
Yeah.
In a time of uncertainty and fear.
Okay.
And then there's more.
There's more.
There's more, Dr. Yates points out.
Oh, wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
Okay.
God hints at something even bigger. A restored Jerusalem.
Wow.
A future kingdom.
Okay.
It's like he's saying, this isn't just about getting you out of trouble.
Right.
This is about restoring your place in my plan, about a future filled with hope and blessing.
Okay, now those are some pretty good carrots.
Pretty good carrots.
Yeah. But let's not forget about the sticks. So what if they choose to ignore all these wonderful things that God's offering?
Yeah.
What if they just stay stubborn?
Then things get a little fiery. Yet God describes his wrath as an unquenchable fire that is going to consume those who persist in their wrongdoing.
Okay.
And we have to remember, this is an agrarian society.
Right.
Fire was both a source of life and a force of utter destruction.
Right.
They knew what God meant.
So there's some urgency here.
Big time.
Choose blessing or choose fire.
Yeah.
And he uses some really vivid imagery to drive this point home.
Oh, the imagery is powerful.
Yeah.
Talking about breaking up fallow ground. Circumcising hearts.
Okay, hold on. Break those down for me.
Okay.
Because I'm not a farmer.
All right, so think about it.
Okay.
Fallow ground is hard and unyielding.
Okay.
It needs to be broken up and tilled before it can produce anything.
Okay.
So God is saying, your hearts are like this hard ground.
Okay.
You need to break up the stubbornness, the resistance.
Okay.
And prepare yourselves to receive my word.
So it's not just the outward behavior. It's right. Got to be the heart, too.
It's an internal transformation.
Right. So what about this circumcising of the heart thing?
Well, circumcision was a sign of the covenant, belonging to God.
Okay.
But it wasn't just a physical act.
Okay.
It was about cutting away impurity and dedicating yourself fully to God.
Mm-hmm.
So God is saying, it's not enough to just go through the motions.
Okay.
You need to cut away the things that are separating you from me.
I like that.
The idols you're clinging to, and give me your whole heart.
It really gets to the core of it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So we've got Judah's rebellion.
Yes.
God offers this incredible second chance.
Yes.
We've got this concept of shub,
yes,
as this reorientation of one's life,
yes,
and then some powerful imagery,
yes.
But the million-dollar question is,
yeah,
does Judah take him up on this offer?
Well, the answer isn't that simple.
You're killing me.
I know. Okay, so we're gonna have to.
Yeah, we're gonna unpack that in the next part of our deep dive.
We're gonna leave our listeners hanging.
We are, but it's a good cliffhanger.
It is.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
All right, so we'll be back with you shortly to talk about whether or not Judah took God up on his amazing offer of this concept of shub.
That's right.
Okay, so last time we were talking about this idea of shub, this turning back to God and all the, you know, wonderful things. He was offering Judah.
Right.
If they would, but turn back.
Right.
The question is, did they?
Well, you know, that's what really got me after listening to Dr. Yates's lecture.
Okay.
It would be easy to get all caught up in the, you know, theological details and everything.
Right.
But what really stood out was just the idea of missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity, huh?
Yeah, like Dr. Yates said, the tragedy in Judah's story is not just the judgment.
Okay.
But that it was unnecessary.
Oh.
They had a chance
to
turn things around.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
I think we've all felt that in our own lives.
Absolutely.
Like, ugh, if only I had chosen a different path.
You know, we get so caught up in our own stubbornness.
Yeah.
Our own short-sightedness.
Right.
And we miss out on the blessings.
Yeah.
They're right there in front of us.
Okay, so are you telling me that they completely blew it?
Well, Dr. Yates points to some later passages
in
Jeremiah, like 8.45 and 6.10.
Okay.
And it's pretty clear there that Judah did not embrace this idea of shub.
So they chose the fire.
They clung to their old ways, their idols.
They did. Why do you think that was?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And I think it's that tendency that we all have.
Okay.
To want to hold on to what's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's hurting us.
It's comfortable.
Yeah. Change is hard.
Yeah.
Even when we know it's going to be good for us.
Even when we know it's the right thing to do.
Right. Exactly.
So they had this chance.
Yeah.
To be part of something amazing.
They did.
And they just said, eh, we're good.
It really is tragic.
It is.
You know, it's a reminder that we can't coast on past faithfulness.
Right.
We have to continually choose shub.
Right.
You know, turn away from the things that are separating us from God.
Yeah.
Like a daily.
Yeah, like hit the reset button every day.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Keep coming back to that center point.
It's not a one-time event.
Right.
Shub is a way of life.
It's a way of life.
Yeah.
But you said something about the Abrahamic covenant earlier.
Oh, yeah.
What does that have to do with all of this?
Well, remember, God's covenant with Abraham wasn't just about blessing Abraham and his descendants.
Right. It was about blessing all the nations.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it was like this ripple effect of God's grace going out into the world.
I see.
And Judah was supposed to be a beacon of light, this conduit of God's grace to the world.
Okay.
But because they refused to embrace Shub,
Right.
it had consequences that went way beyond their own borders.
Wow.
You know, it choked off the flow of blessing.
Wow.
And prevented them from fulfilling their role.
So their actions didn't just impact them.
Right.
They impacted everyone.
Yeah.
Wow.
It makes you wonder, are we doing that today? It does make you wonder.
Yeah.
Are we hindering God's work?
Yeah. Are we so stubborn?
Right.
That we're preventing God's blessing?
From flowing out into the world.
From reaching others.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty big deal.
It's a big deal.
This Shub idea.
It is.
It's not just an individual thing.
Right.
It affects everyone.
It affects everyone.
It's about being part of something bigger.
Yes, it is.
But how do we do it?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And that deserves a whole nother conversation.
Oh, there's more.
There's one last piece.
I thought we were getting close to wrapping up.
We are.
Okay.
But we need to explore just how to make this practical.
Okay. All right, so we're back. And we've talked about Shub, this idea of turning back to God.
Yeah.
But I think the question a lot of our listeners might have is, how do we actually do that?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
Like, it sounds great in theory.
Right.
But how do we actually apply this to our lives? And, you know, I think those metaphors that Dr. Yates talked about.
Okay.
Like breaking up the fallow ground of our hearts.
Okay.
That whole circumcising the heart image.
Right.
Those aren't just there to sound poetic.
Yep.
They're actually giving us clues on how to do Shub.
Okay, so you're saying there are some practical steps we can take.
Absolutely. It's about action.
Okay.
You know, we have to examine the soil of our hearts.
Okay.
See what's growing there.
Right.
Are there weeds of resentment or bitterness or pride?
Right.
Choking out the good stuff?
Okay.
Shub begins with identifying those things that are keeping us from growing closer to God.
No more hiding?
No more hiding.
Yeah.
Time to get real.
Okay.
So honesty is the first step.
Okay.
And then comes the hard part.
Oh, boy.
Which is turning away from those things.
Okay.
You know, actually taking action to change those harmful patterns,
mm-hmm.
the thoughts and the actions
yeah.
that are leading us off course.
That's easier said than done sometimes.
It is.
Yeah. So where does God fit into all of this?
Well, he's not just standing on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
Shub is impossible without his grace.
Okay.
It's his power working in us.
Okay.
Transforming us from the inside out.
Okay.
That makes real change possible.
So it's not about, you know, trying to be good enough
yeah.
on our own.
No, it's about surrender.
Okay.
Letting go.
Okay.
Letting God do what he does best.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
So how can our listeners kind of practically, you know, get this Shub process going?
I would say first, carve out some time for honest self-reflection.
Okay.
Maybe that's journaling, prayer, meditation,
yeah.
whatever helps you really connect with yourself.
Okay.
And ask yourself, what are the things that are tripping me up?
Yeah.
What are the patterns I keep repeating
right.
that are leading me away from God?
Good questions.
Yeah, good questions. And then, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to a trusted friend, a mentor.
Right.
A pastor, counselor. You know, Shub is not a solo mission.
We need each other.
We need each other.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So what can we expect when we actually start, you know, doing this?
Freedom.
Okay.
Purpose.
Okay.
You know, Dr. Yates talked about how Shub leads to this incredible sense of freedom.
Right.
And purpose.
Okay.
Like we're finally tapping into the life we were created for.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
The life that's in line with God's heart.
Right.
And as we experience that freedom,
mm-hmm.
we also start to see the blessings.
We get the carrots.
We get the carrots.
Right.
Yeah. But it's more than just material blessings.
Right.
It's this deep peace and joy
okay.
that comes from knowing that we're on the right path.
Yeah.
That we're walking in step with God.
So it's this ongoing journey.
It is.
It's coming back.
It's not about reaching some perfect state of Shubness.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's about that daily choice.
I like that.
Yeah.
The daily choice.
A constant reorientation to God.
And as we do that, we become more like him. Yes. So we started with this story of ancient Judah.
We did.
And now we're talking about, you know,
spiritual landscaping.
Yeah. It's crazy how these ancient stories still speak to us today.
I know. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
It really is.
And it all comes down to
that God is always offering us a second chance.
Always.
Always.
No matter what.
No matter what.
That's amazing.
It is.
So for our listeners today,
yeah.
don't let this just be head knowledge.
Right.
Actually do the work.
Examine the soil of your heart.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty, you know,
yeah.
in this process of turning back to God.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this deep dive on Shub.
It's been a good one.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.